Okay, here we go. We are on the 17th chapter of the Rambam in Hilchos Mechira, Halacha Aleph. Okay, the first thing we have to know is we're going to be talking about different types of blemishes, a different way of looking at blemishes that we've been looking until now. We have to know that the definition of a mum for pragmatic purposes to change a sale is if the labeling is incorrect of what you've labeled the animal. We'll see in a minute what that will include. Now, certainly, if it has a broken leg, that's not an animal. That's a healthy animal. It's an incorrect label. We'll see there's other ways of using this definition in this parak. Now, if the labeling is correct, but yet there's other issues, then we can have issues of onah, of cheating him on the thing. But those are two separate halachas. Onah is overcharging. But then there's another problem if there's a mum where the sale is not valid because the labeling is not correct. And we'll see how this will fit in this halacha over here. Aleph. Arba midas b'moichrim. There's four separate laws. B'moichrim here means in transactions. Not with sellers, but it means with transactions. Mekach u'memkar. And here's the four types of ways of looking at it. Mochel lo chitim yofos. The guy sells, and he says, I'm selling you high-quality wheat. Okay? And what happens? Venim suros. And it comes out there, inferior quality of wheat. Right? So now, it could be, let's say, that the difference in price between the two qualities is not even that of a sixth. So they're really, it's less than a sixth. So there won't be issues of oino here. In other words, if you face a bushel of high quality wheat is $6 and low quality is $5.50. Okay, so in terms of the laws of onah, well, I only got 50 cents less value, but here's the problem: he wanted high quality wheat and he got low quality wheat. So that's a case where the seller, that's like a mum, so to speak. It's an incorrect label. It's no worse than a cow with a broken leg. This is not high quality wheat. Salokeach, therefore the purchaser, Yochalachserbo, he can back out of the deal because he was sold something that's not what he wanted. Velo hamocher, and not the seller. Okay? And let's say, for example, the item for sale went up in price, what he sold. So then the seller would want to say, okay, I didn't sell you the right thing, so let's back out of the deal. He can't do that, okay? Because since he cheated the buyer, so to speak, he falsely represented by giving the wrong, it's like a blemish. So therefore, he can't get anything out of there. Now, this is not a real huge change, but it's enough. It's not complete. And therefore, the rabbis gave it like the halacha of, like a noah of a sixth, that only the noah of a sixth, only the buyer can back out. In other words, even though it's not a noah, but we're treating it similarly, that only, remember, when you cheat the guy of a sixth, only the seller the buyer can back out. Or the one who got cheated backs out, rather. So the same thing over here. Who got cheated here? It was the buyer got cheated out. So therefore, he's the one who got back out of it. Now, let's reverse it now. What if he rolls? What if he sold him? He said, I'm going to sell you inferior quality. And it turns out by mistake, when MCFS, he gave him better quality. Let's say, the way my commentary says it, the buyer kind of cheated the seller or fooled the seller. In other words, a lot of times the seller doesn't know what he's got.
Oh, I see.
And the guy says, is bad quality stuff. Oh, so you got it. I've been in Leipzig, and this is nothing compared to in Leipzig. Really, it was a good quality. Because obviously usually sellers know what they're doing, but sometimes the buyer can say, oh, this is very poor quality. Then he sells it, and he finds out later he sold him a high quality. Well, now we turn it around. Hamocher yochalachserbo. Now the seller can back out of it, v'lo lokeach, and not the buyer, because now it's been reversed that the seller has been the one who has been cheated, so to speak. Okay, now, what if Ra'os v'nimtzo Ra'os, what if the guy sold him inferior quality, and it was inferior quality, or Yafos v'nimtzo Yafos, he sold him good quality, and it was a good quality, you know, so what's the deal? We'll have to see the next line. Afal pi shena Yafos shein l'mal v'hem, even though that's not the best of possible, whereas the guy says he's going to sell you the best, even within the range of best, there, you know, is this best, and, you know, good. You know, pretty good best, yeah. But not as good best. Or the reverse. And it's not, you know, the worst of the worst, right? It's worse, but not, you know, way out of line, right? So now, was there mislabeling of the type of grain? That's the issue. When you say it's good grain and it's bad grain, that's a mislabeling. When you say it's bad grain and it's good grain, it's a mislabeling. If you say, listen, I'm going to sell you good grain. Now, it's in the range of good grain.
The lowest end.
Now, it's not, yeah, so you have the highest end of good and the lowest end of good. And the same thing with low and low. Yeah. So that's not a mislabeling. So we can't get him on the fact that it's like a mum, that it was mislabeled, and the one who got the raw end of the deal can back out. But what you still can do, if it happens, says the Rambam, variation hoinoshtus, you can catch him if there was overcharging or undercharging of a sixth. Yeah. That can exist. If, let's say, there is different prices of higher quality, the best of the best, versus the lowest of the best. If the guy got, so let's say the highest of the best sold for six, and let's say the bad sells for three, yeah, but the lowest of the best sells for five, now, or even less, 4.9, let's say, then he cheated him more than a sixth, and now he can back out of the deal.
The same category.
So in other words, it never loses.
Because you can't back out.
What? A variation might not. Oh, exactly a sixth. I'm sorry. This case is exactly a sixth. Okay?
That's why we changed it.
It's exactly a sixth. But if it be more than six, that's also due. The commentator says, you're right. So if it's exactly a sixth, what do we normally say when it's exactly a sixth? The deal stays. You just
pay the difference.
It's bought, and he has to return the extra amount, whichever way it went. But the commentary said, if it would be more than a sixth, they can knock out. So there you have.
Same rule we always have with them.
That's right. But he's telling you, so now we have two different ways of two different things to calculate. First, you have to determine, have we mislabeled this item? And therefore, that's like a mum, and the one who got cheated out has got the upper hand. If it wasn't if it's in the range, so we cannot call it a mislabeling, then we look to see, okay, even though it wasn't mislabeled, but now let's see in terms of price, maybe we can catch him on the shtus of oino over there or not. Okay, halacha base. Avol hamoicher chitim shechamtis. What if the guy purports to sell brown type of wheat? Okay, I'm not an expert in wheat at all. Reddish brown, it's red, really. Even though chamtis really means it's from the sun. I guess it could maybe made red from the sun. Sun can be red, whatever. But it's a red type of wheat. V'nimtza slavona comes out to be a white type of wheat. Now, it could be the exact same price, but it's a totally different kind of wheat. You know, like a mushel, let's say, white flour and spelt flour. Okay.
Brown and white rice.
You know, they could be the exact same price on the market. You didn't cheat them out any money. Mm-hmm. But the guy says, listen, well, you told me you're selling me red wheat. You know, right. I want my challahs to look red. I don't want them to look white. Or
you
whatever.
Sell that red stuff.
Right? So it comes out as white. Or Lavon of an Imcha Shechamtis. What if he buys the white, thought he bought the white, and ends up getting the red? Or let's say he bought eight sim shelzais. You have wood that comes from an olive tree. V'nimtza shel shikma, it's wood of a sycamore tree. Or shel shikma v'nimtza shel zayis, you sold him a sycamore tree wood, or you get the olive wood, right? Yayin, if you sell him wine, v'nimtza chometz, and it's vinegar. Chometz v'nimtza yayin, he sells him vinegar, and it comes out to be wine.
Because you mean they're all the same price.
Yeah, we're not looking at
that. But that's the idea. So
these are totally different. This is much worse than the first case, where you said it was better quality wheat versus lower quality of wheat. It still was in the wheat range, But somebody got cheated out of here. What, because so therefore, it, that's what we said, only one way deal here. But here, in this case, kol echad me'am yochel la'atzro, everybody came back out because it's a 100% mekach tos. It's a completely...
There's no meeting of minds.
There's nothing.
The price is the same.
It's not even close. At least if you had bad wheat and good wheat, it's close enough. It's not a complete false sale. But the guy who's on the short end of the stick came back out of it.
That was halacha. It's a relative judgment thing to some extent as opposed to...
Because it was in the wheat... well, the other thing was it's wheat. Same halacha aleph. It's the same wheat, just better and worse quality.
Well, as we said before, I mean, based on what the guy said about what he saw in the market, it's a relative thing. So you could say it's good. Well, it's good compared to this.
That already we said that's not considered a change to be a mislabeling. In the good category, the only issue was a no. And good is only a no. The only time where it's a bit of a false sale is I'm selling you good wheat versus bad wheat. So since it's in the wheat family, it's not a complete false sale, but it's enough false enough to give the one on the losing end to get back. This whole halacha is that, you know, these are such considered, at least by the rabbis, substantive enough differences that's completely a mekach tos, and everybody come back out. Why she'ein zehamin? This isn't the species at all. He said, I never intended that species. Shane Zamin Sha'amar Shiyimbo, he said he's going to sell them the chain kol, kayoit sepaza, and anything similar to that. Okay, so we've seen the differences. If it's totally different, it's a completely mekartos. If it's in the same item category, just better or worse, we just look at it's on the one who loses out on the deal can back out. Okay, now we're going to look at another halachas where we're going to deal with purchasing things. Specifically, we're going to talk about wine and beer and stuff like that, oil. Now, there's a new issue that's coming up. Okay, you're going to buy wine. We assume that when you sell any of these types of things, like it doesn't spoil in the next 2 or 3 days. You know, when you could look at it right now, it looks like okay, but a lot of times the seller may know, you know, how old the stuff is and how long it's going to last. You know, the buyer looks, oh, it looks... Looks great to me. Even gets a little tasted. Ooh, that really tastes good. Seller knows it's gone in about 2 days. And I just sold a huge keg of it. Right? So now the question is, you know, how does that fit into all the halachas? And there's another issue. It depends which container, whose container was the purchased item placed in. Sometimes the seller will sell it with his seller's container. Sometimes they'll pour it into the buyer's container. So that becomes the next issue to think about. Okay. So that's halacha gimel. I see some people thought that Marv's at 9:15.
And I didn't know Rambam
was
today.
I knew Rambam today, but I thought it was going to be in between me and Marv and then after as well.
I had a question.
Halacha gimel. Amoicher yayin lechaveru. A person sells wine to his friend. Now, important point now. In the sono halokeach bekankonav. And the buyer puts it in his pitchers or his barrels or whatever. Okay? So right away, that gives the seller the out. If anything happens, he says, listen, you had bad containers. And that caused the damage. Not necessarily... But it's an out.
Right.
You can't conclusively say, you sold me terrible wine. He says, listen, how do I know your container's not full of yuck? So therefore, vehech meets miyat. And now it became vinegary immediately after the sale. So now you could say it was because
it's
of
good.
Your
no,
thing.
I put it in, but yeah.
So the seller, ein chayav b'achruyoso. The seller has no liability. He doesn't have to return anything. We don't say it's like a false sale. Now there's a second point we have to know. When you're buying wine, there could be different reasons why you buy wine. You may buy wine. Usually, a guy buys, let's say you buy a bottle of wine. Now, how long is the bottle of wine? Usually you buy a bottle of wine. We're not talking buying by the case. You buy a bottle of wine, so you're going to drink it. It's going to be gone in a day or two. But that's one short-term use. We'll say the buying is assumed
more
to be a short-term, immediate use. On the other hand, if you use, let's say, wine for cooking, So you may have on that for weeks and weeks and weeks. Yeah. You just put a little bit in. So that's, we'll see shortly that's going to be a difference. But right now, if the seller pours it into the buyer's container, even if it spoils right away, even though the buyer says to him, listen, I want you to know I'm buying this latav shalom, so I need it for cooking purposes. So now you know that, and you know I'm going to need it for a while. So there's nothing wrong with selling a guy wine that he's going to drink, even though it's going to spoil in a week, because he's only going to drink in the next 2-3 days. No different than selling a person fresh tomatoes because he's eating supper tonight. If the guy says, I want this for supper for 4 nights from now, we don't give him the freshest tomato because 4 nights from tonight it's going to be yachi. So if the seller, so we're saying like this, even though the seller told, the buyer told him, listen, I need this because it's for cooking purposes, he's going to need it for a few days.
Doesn't so I cooking want, purposes mean you need it to sour?
What? No, they want the regular wine. They want regular wine.
Just figuring to use it.
Right, I'm going to use it slowly over time. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily have to be cooking. It could be anything. He's saying, listen, I'm not, he's telling me in advance, I'm not using this whole thing up very quickly. It's long-term use. Yeah. Cooking is a simple example of that. So even though when you say it's long-term use, that would be on the side to favor the buyer if something would go wrong afterwards. But since it goes into his container, so then he's, the buyer, the seller can always say, listen, you know, it's your fault.
So why does the afalp?
What? That, because the afalp is, if you know it's for long-term use, then you sold something that spoils. Now it's going to be the seller's liability.
Even if it's the seller's container.
Well, if it's going to be if it's going to be the seller's container, the buyer's container. So you have to look at what are the pros and cons. I got to say it again. That's the point. Okay? So each one has a positive and a negative. If it's in the seller's container, the onus now becomes on the seller. If it's on the buyer's container, it's the onus on the buyer. If the buyer says, I want it for long-term use and it spoils right away, the onus is on the seller. If the buyer says for short-term use, then there's no problem from the buyer, seller's perspective, and the buyer, that's his problem. So that's what he's saying.
But there's two separate factors, but we're combining them as well.
Right, so he's saying, if it's in the buyer's container, that is such a strong point that even though the buyer said I need long-term use, we don't care, because as long as the seller can say, hey, it could very well have been your container, yeah, so leave me alone. However, let's take it a step further. What if everybody knows, v'im yoda, if it is a known fact, she'yeno machmitz, they know that this seller, when he sells wine, it turns vinegary very quickly. He's not the most honest guy, right? Everybody knows that when this guy sells it, it gets vinegary very fast. They know this is the kind of, he is poor quality.
Yeah.
It tastes like wine today.
It's meant for short-term use.
But it's really for short-term. You know that. So then, and he sells them that, and I guess under the pretense, one second, v'im yoda she'yeno machmitz, one second, let me get the right place over here. Yeah. Okay. But we have to add a point. But the buyer said from the beginning, I'm buying it to use for long-term use. Okay, so maybe the buyer obviously didn't know.
That particular.
But people know. People
right.
know. They know this guy.
Yeah.
You know, he comes in from out of town. He's visiting Eretz Yisrael. He says, I need some wine. I need it for long-term use. Sure, no problem. It's the best. And they say, hey, it spoiled on me. He says, what do you want? Then they start finding out that this guy is known for doing those kinds of things, right? So then what do we say? Hareza mikachtos. That's considered a false sale, and the money's got to go back. But that's only if the buyer said, I need it for long-term use. That's the critical point. If he didn't make any condition, he bought it stamazoi, then the seller can get out of it, because he could say that the buyer, I thought he didn't need it for such a long time, and my wine is good enough for a short-term use.
And everyone knows that.
And everybody knows it. So everybody knows they did it for tonight's kiddush and shul, you know, and that's it. So that depends a lot on what the seller says he wants it for. And if he doesn't say anything, then the buyer has the loophole, as it were, the excuse to say, well, I thought it was for short-term use.
So the buyer says he doesn't want it for length of time.
He didn't say anything.
No, but if he did, the seller would have to say, sorry, my wine's not for you.
That's what he was supposed to do, even though the buyer didn't know, but we know. Yeah. Now, if nobody knows, that still would be a problem. It's interesting why he says if everybody knows. And what if we didn't know? Then I guess we'd have to look at other factors.
The translation said if the seller knew.
What?
The translation said.
The seller knew. The seller knew. Okay, good. So that's clearly a mekach tos. Okay. Mochar lo yain. Let's say he sells wine. Vaharehu bekankunov shel mochar. Now it's staying in the seller's container. Okay, vehechmis. And it goes bad. So now, the question is not so much the container, because he's the one selling him. The question is, what's the status of the wine, and what do we say? So it depends. So they say, well, listen, I didn't buy it to spoil in 2-3 days. So it depends. Imam or lo, so if the buyer says, we find within the context of the discussion, that I need it, lemikba is another word of saying for cooking, you only put a little bit at a time, okay, or if he says, I'm going to drink a little bit at a time, but he knows it's a long-term use. The seller knows that the buyer is doing it for short-term use. I need tzarich, and then vehichmitz long-term use. Thank you. And then it gets vinegary, then machzir. So what does this buyer do? He just gives back the barrel of spoiled vinegar. Where am I going to say? Harayein chavakan kancha. Here's your wine. Here's your barrel. Shani lo kanisi lishtos. I remember I told you, I didn't say I was buying it for drinking it for short-term use. Elavashul ma'amat, to cook slowly. So you knew what I needed, and you gave me the wrong stuff. Now, it doesn't matter now if the seller said, well, nothing wrong with my wine, it was my barrels. Shkoyach, your barrels,
too.
That's like, your problem either way. So we don't care. You know, obviously he's going to have the best barrels in the world. Right. That's for sure. So what's the only problem? Well, it was short-term wine. Yeah, but I told you I need long-term wine, right? But what if he didn't say I need it for long term? He didn't say anything. Then he can't return it anymore.
Yeah.
Guy says, yeah, but I needed it for long term. But you never said. Once you never said, the seller can always say to him, Loma lo shasito. So why did you not drink it up right away? Why did you leave it so long until it would spoil? Right, I thought, you know, I don't have, I can go either way. When I'm selling it, it was good drinking wine. You didn't tell me that it has to be long-term wine. Since it has to be long-term wine, that's not my issue. Okay, Dalit.
Can I have a point of clarification on that? So, if he did say it's for short-term, the seller, the buyer did, then we said he can give back what remains of that yucky wine.
We're going to see how much. We're going to see how much. Depends how much he drank.
Does he have to Halacha
Hay is going to discuss how much he drinks.
I wonder whether he had to
We assume it spoiled right. It's spoiled before he had.
If he spoiled right away, then it's not even for short-term use.
Well, no. Let's say he's 2 days. Let's say like this. He didn't cook for, let's say, didn't start cooking for 3 days. People don't always buy when they run out.
Right,
you know, I'm running low. I'm going to need it in a couple days. It's for long-term use.
Right.
So let's say 3 days later.
He may not have used any of it yet.
He didn't use any of it. So this is all assuming right now, you'll see it'll be clarified in two halachas, that this he didn't drink any significant amount. We'll come back to this in two halachas. Dalit, hamoichar chavish al shecher, what if you sell a barrel of beer? L'chavero, v'chavish al mocher, and the barrel belongs to the seller. Okay. Now, he doesn't say about if it's the buyer, but if it's the buyer, the seller's already off the hook. Because they always can say it's the buyer's barrel, it's something to talk about. But it's the seller's barrel. Vechmitza, and it becomes vinegary, it spoils. Now, here it says clear rules. Because beer, you really only use it usually for drinking, right? So, besok shlosh yom rishon, if it spoils in the first 3 days, that's a sign that it was spoiled even before. In other words, it was going to spoil. If it spoils within 3 days, it means there was something wrong with before. That's the rule of beer. It's considered the liability of the seller. Give back your money. After 3 days, then it's the buyer's problem because usually beer is drunk within 3 days. That's for sure. So even if it would have spoiled after 3 days, well, that's good beer for 3 days. Now, the commentators do say, if he did say it was for cooking purposes and long-term purposes, then the halacha changes and he has to assume the liability on that. All right? And let's try one more halacha. Hey, now we're going to get to this point over here that you mentioned. Hamoicher chavis shol yayin lechaver. A guy sells a barrel of wine to his friend, and it is in the seller's barrel, or else there's nothing to talk about. Kidei lemochem ramat, and he knows it's for... Kidei lemochem ramat.
He's going to bottle it?
No.
Drink it slow.
Resale.
No, I think it's resale.
Yes, I mean...
Kidei lemochem ramat.
He intends to sell it a little
bit. When is it
selling? Yeah, so he sells it to somebody, and he says, and I'm going to sell it slowly to others.
So really, slowly is the key.
Yeah, right. So that's no different than... if he said it's for drinking, for cooking purposes, right, or whatever. It's just another example of that.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, so when he's halfway through selling the barrel, or drinking, or whatever, now it spoils. Okay?
The half of what he bought this piece.
Right. In other words, he sold half, or for that matter, drank half. It doesn't matter. Any half, right? Obishlishi or a third, doesn't really matter what, a third, two thirds, whatever. There's significant percentages over here. So now what happens is, Choser Samocha, whatever's left goes back to the seller, and now we have to add in understanding, and he's responsible to pay for the remainder of it.
What do you use?
In other words, it's not all or nothing. You can say, well, listen, since it was spoiled, I want all my money back. Or you don't get anything back since you used most of it. No, we would prorate it. So if he's used half, the guy says, listen, you benefited half. What do you want from me? Were you complaining you wanted another half? Okay, I have to pay you back the half that's spoiled. But you can't say, well, you ruined my whole life. You know, I had to go back to the store and this and that. No. That's the chiddush. The chiddush is it's not all or nothing. If he uses part of it, you pay prorated, which only makes sense. Even though there's a little bit of inconvenience, but that's okay. Now, however, wait a minute. What if you got the barrel that belongs to the seller, right? But what if the buyer puts in another hole into the barrel for another spigot? In other words, he now does some work on the barrel, as it were. Or the seller, the next day was market day. So for the buyer, the guy who bought it, he says, I'm going to sell it piecemeal. And the next day was market day. So the guy who sold him figures, listen, I know this wine's only lasts a few days, but he tells me he's a seller himself. He's a retailer. Tomorrow's market day. He'll sell it all out. But guess what? The day came, Vishon. He didn't go. He didn't go to the... And he could have sold it all by then. So in either one of those cases, the liability is the buyer's. In the first case, because he tampered with the barrel, and by tampering it, you could have loosened some junk, and that gets into the wine and makes it contaminated it. And if he didn't sell it, the guy says, well, why didn't you sell it? Okay, last case over here is when we have a case like this. Sometimes a guy will own a barrel, and he'll make a deal with somebody, a kablonis. Person A owns the barrel. He goes, and he's, let's say, the wholesaler. Okay, he goes to the guy and says, okay, I'll be the retailer and I'll sell this all for you. And we'll make a deal, whatever the percentage is, let's say half and half, whatever profits we get, we'll split the profits, or whatever losses, we'll split the losses, whatever. And they work together on this. So even though on the one end, it's like a buyer-seller relationship because the guy owned the barrel, but it was in advance done as a partnership. So he's buying into the partnership, we'll call. The original guy has the barrel. He's the wholesaler. He's got the barrel. The retailer may not have anything.
Has him over a barrel.
He says, okay, I'll pay you X amount to have a cut in the action over here, and then we'll split the profits, or if there are losses, we share the losses. Okay, so now what happens is, that's the case. And the seller makes a deal, makes a condition. The seller... I don't want you to sell it anywhere except in that place. That takes a few days to get there. Okay? And he's restricting the partner / buyer of where he could sell it. Because he would say, listen, I could just sell it right over here, you know, or nearby. So, no, I got other franchisees right over here.
I want you
to go down there. The Kodem Shigia Shum Huzal. And when he gets to the other place, the price drops dramatically. Okay? Even anywhere, hayayin, ol hichmitza, or it spoils. So now who's going to suffer liability? So normally they go half-see on the liabilities. But since with this condition, or the faulty wine was the we can attribute that to the seller. The loss goes to the owner of the barrel because it's all his, and he made the conditions, and he tied the hands of the buyer who could do anything with that. And anything similar to that has that halacha. Yeah.